Book 2, Lud, A Heap of Broken Images. Chapter 4, Town and Ka-Tet. 4 days after Eddie had yanked him through the doorway between worlds, minus his original pair of pants and his sneakers, but still in possession of his pack and his life, Jake awoke with something warm and wet nuzzling at his face. If he had come around to such a sensation on any of the three previous mornings, he undoubtedly would have wakened his companions with his screams, for he had been feverish and his sleep had been haunted by nightmares of the Plaster Man. In these dreams, his pants did not slide free. The doorkeeper kept its grip, and it tucked him into its unspeakable mouth, where its teeth came down like the bars guarding a castle keep. Jake awoke from these dreams, shuddering and moaning helplessly. The fever had been caused by the spider bite on the back of his neck. When Roland examined it on the second day and found it worse instead of better, he had conferred briefly with Eddie and had then given Jake a pink pill. "You'll want to take 4 of these every day for at least a week," he said. Jake had gazed at it doubtfully. "What is it?" "Chieflet," Roland said, then looked disgustedly at Eddie. "You tell him. I still can't say it." "Keyflex. You can trust it, Jake. It came from a government-approved pharmacy in good old New York. Roland swallowed a bunch of it, and he's as healthy as a horse. Looks a little like one, too, as you can see." Jake was astonished. "How did you get medicine in New York?" "That's a long story," the gunslinger said. "You'll hear all of it in time, but for now, just take the pill." Jake did. The response was both quick and gratifying. The angry red swelling around the bite began to fade in 24 hours, and now the fever was gone as well. The warm thing nuzzled again, and Jake sat up with a jerk, his eyes flying open. The creature, which had been licking his cheek, took 2 hasty steps backward. It was a billy bumbler, but Jake didn't know that. He had never seen one before now. It was skinnier than the one I think it can get in the city. "I don't know. I only know that we have to try and protect Jake, because the old auntie said both sides would want him. Some of it depends on how long it takes us to find this train. A lot more depends on what happens when we find it. If we had 2 more in our party, I'd put Jake in a moving box with guns on every side of him. Since we don't, we'll move in column. Me first, Jake pushing Susanna behind, and you on drogue. How much trouble, Roland? Make a guess." "I can't." "I think you can. You don't know the city, but you know how the people in your world have been behaving since things started to fall apart. How much trouble?" Roland turned toward the steady sound of the drumbeats and thought it over. "Maybe not too much. I'd guess the fighting men who are still there are old and demoralized. It may be that you have the straight of it, and some will even offer to help us on our way, as the river crossing Ka-Tet did. Mayhap we won't see them at all. They'll see us, see we're packing iron, and just put their heads down and let us go our way. If that fails, I'm hoping they'll scatter like rats if we gun a few." "And if they decide to make a fight of it?" Roland smiled grimly. "Then, Eddie, we'll all remember the faces of our fathers." Eddie's eyes gleamed in the darkness, and Roland was once more reminded forcibly of Cuthbert. Cuthbert, who had once said he would believe in ghosts when he could catch one in his teeth. Cuthbert, with whom he had once scattered breadcrumbs beneath the hangman's gibbet. "Have I answered all your questions?" "Nope, but I think you played straight with me this time." "Then good night, Eddie." "Good night." Eddie turned and walked away. Roland watched him go. Now that he was listening, he could hear him, but just barely. He started back himself, then turned toward the darkness where the city of Lud was. "He's what the old woman called a pube. She said both sides would want him." "You won't let me drop this time?" "No, not this time. Not ever again." But he knew something none of the others did. Perhaps, after the talk he'd just had with Eddie, he should tell them. Yet he thought he would keep the knowledge to himself a little while longer. In the old tongue, which had once been his world's lingua franca, most words, like kef and ka, had many meanings. The word char, however, char as in Charlie the Choo-Choo, had only one. Char meant death.